Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Law Enforcement DNA Collection Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On February 28, 2013, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Maryland v. King. The question in this case is whether the Fourth Amendment permits state law enforcement officials to collect and analyze DNA from people who have been arrested and charged with serious crimes. To discuss the case, we have Mary Beth Buchanan, who is an Ethics and Risk Reputational Officer at the United Nations, and a former United States attorney. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Ms. Buchanan.
On February 26th, the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral argument in the case of Maryland v. King. In this case, the Supreme Court will decide whether the collection and analysis of DNA taken from a person arrested and charged with a serious crime is reasonable under the Fourth Amendment. The respondent, Alonzo J. King, was arrested by state authorities in Maryland and charged with four counts of first-degree assault and one count of second-degree assault. At the time of his arrest, King was fingerprinted and under a Maryland law authorizing the collection of DNA from individuals arrested for certain crimes, his DNA was also taken. King's DNA profile was later uploaded into the CODIS system, which is an index of DNA profiles. And King's DNA was matched to the DNA found at the scene of a 2003 rape of a Maryland woman. King was charged with the 2003 rape. He moved to suppress the DNA taken from him as an unreasonable search and seizure under the Fourth Amendment. After King's motion to suppress was denied, he was convicted of first-degree rape. King appealed his conviction, and the Maryland Court of Appeals reversed the trial court's suppression ruling. In balancing King's interest against the state's interest, the Court of Appeals found that King's privacy interests were not outweighed by Maryland's governmental interests, which in this case, the Court of Appeals defined as the state's interest in assuring proper identification of arrestees. With respect to King's privacy interests, the Court of Appeals found the analogy between DNA fingerprints and traditional fingerprints to be tenuous. It discounted Maryland's restrictions on the use of other information that could be found in the DNA sample, and it gave great weight to an arrestee's presumption of innocence. With respect to the government's interests, the Court of Appeals gave little weight to the state's governmental interest in solving crimes and saw no legitimate need for a DNA sample when Maryland had already identified King through photographs and fingerprints. Pending the Supreme Court's decision in this case, on July 30, 2012, the Chief Justice granted a stay of the judgment of the Maryland Court of Appeals, explaining that it implicates an important feature of day-to-day law enforcement practice in approximately half the states and the federal government, and results in concrete harm to Maryland's law enforcement and public safety interests. At oral argument, Catherine Winfrey represented the petitioner, the state of Maryland. Michael Dreeben appeared for the United States, and Canon Shamagam represented King. Ms. Winfrey began her argument by discussing the three purposes of Maryland's DNA collection law, relying first on DNA's use in solving crimes, as well as its use in identifying arrestees and for courts in making bail determinations. Justice Scalia was immediately critical of the Maryland law's use to solve crimes by conducting searches without warrants. He added, if you conducted a lot of unreasonable searches and seizures, you'd get more convictions too. Justice Sotomayor discounted the use of DNA for bail determinations. Because of the length of time that it currently takes to analyze a DNA sample and get the result back to the court, Ms. Winfrey responded that today it takes between 11 and 17 days to get the DNA results back. While this delay would prevent the court from being able to use the DNA results for its initial bond determination, these results could be used to revoke or modify the conditions of bond at a later time. Ms. Winfrey also asserted that very soon the results of DNA tests will be available more rapidly and could be used routinely by courts in making bail determinations. The Chief Justice was concerned about the other circumstances in which the state could take DNA samples, including from motorists in routine traffic stops. Justices Ginsburg and Sotomayor asked Ms. Winfrey what exception or special circumstance allowed Maryland to conduct this type of search without a warrant. Justice Kagan asked whether Maryland's interest in solving crimes would also allow the state to search King's residence. Winfrey responded that Maryland's ability to search under its DNA collection law was limited to an arrestee with an already reduced expectation of privacy, and the search is also limited to analyzing the DNA sample for its identity profile only. She stated that this law would not permit the state to search other areas, including King's residence. Justice Breyer seems satisfied that Maryland's DNA law is limited to individuals arrested for certain types of felonies. He also noted that when there is probable cause to arrest an individual for the type of crime defined under the Maryland statute, the arrestee's fingerprints are taken. Justice Breyer then concluded his questioning of Ms. Winfrey by asking her this question. If an individual's fingerprints can be taken, does the Maryland collection law also allow DNA to be taken as well? Michael Dreeben, counsel for the United States, argued that arrestees are upon the gateway of the criminal justice system, and they have a reduced expectation of privacy. He also made reference to other types of individuals in the criminal justice system, and he gave examples of the various types of searches that they can be subjected to. Justice Kagan again raised the delay in getting back the results from a DNA sample and contrasted this with how quickly fingerprints can be compared and why fingerprints are far more useful for identification purposes. Mr. Dreeben then explained that one day soon, DNA results will be obtained in as little as 90 minutes. Justice Alito then remarked that fingerprints were not always computerized and rapidly compared, and that the constitutionality of taking fingerprints was not dependent on how quickly they could be compared. Justice Kennedy asked whether this was a search incident to arrest, and Mr. Dreeben responded that it could be considered as such, but that he was not relying on the court's prior line of cases involving searches incident to arrest. Mr. Dreeben also said that he was asking the court to apply the key principle of the Fourth Amendment. He didn't get to complete his sentence, but the key principle would be reasonableness. Next, Canon Shanmugam argued that although certain intrusions of privacy are permissible as to arrestees, he did not believe that the court should extend its rationale in Sampson, which dealt with a probationer rather than an arrestee, to the present case. Justice Roberts then asked him whether there is even an expectation of privacy in one's DNA, since DNA can be left on a glass or wherever an individual happens to have been. Justice Alito then asked whether taking a DNA sample or a fingerprint was a greater intrusion of privacy. Mr. Shanmugam responded that both involved invasions of privacy. He argued that neither Maryland nor the federal government had explained why fingerprinting was constitutional. At this point, Justice Alito stated that this is perhaps the most important criminal procedure case that the court has heard in decades. He then asked Mr. Shanmugam why this case isn't fingerprinting of the 21st century. Mr. Shanmugam said that fingerprints are different because they contain less personal information than DNA, taking them is not a search, and that there is a special need for taking fingerprints, and that is for identification purposes. Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kennedy then asked Mr. Shanmugam whether the government had an interest in knowing whether arrestees had committed other crimes. Mr. Shanmugam conceded that they did, but he still maintained that if states wanted to investigate other crimes, they would need a warrant to conduct a search. During her rebuttal, Ms. Winfrey answered Justice Alito's question and agreed that DNA is the fingerprint of the 21st century, but only better. She also said that the court should consider all three purposes of Maryland's DNA collection statute in conducting its balancing of King's interests against those of the state of Maryland. These interests would include identification, determining if an arrestee had committed other crimes, as well as solving crimes in general. My prediction is that the majority of the court will agree that DNA is the fingerprint of the 21st century. Based on their questions at oral argument, It appears that Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Alito, Breyer, and Kennedy would vote to uphold Maryland's DNA law. Justices Sotomayor, Kagan, Ginsburg, and possibly Scalia will likely find that a warrant was required to take DNA in this case. Although Justice Thomas didn't ask any questions at oral argument, I believe that he will also agree that DNA is like a fingerprint, and the minimal incursion into an arrestee's already diminished expectation of privacy is not an unreasonable search and seizure under the Fourth Amendment, and he would join the other four justices in upholding the Maryland's DNA collection law.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.